juice. I got enough to go around, and the thought takes place uptown. I grew up on a sidewalk while on street talk, and then taught to hawk New York. I go to Queens for Queens to get the food from Brooklyn. Make money in Manhattan and never been took it. Go uptown to the Bronx and boogie down. Go strong on the island, recoup and lay around. Time to build my juice back up. Pop stack up, suckers get smacked up. Don't doubt the clout, you know what I'm about. Knocking niggas off, knocking niggas out. Shaking them up, waking them up. Breaking them up, breaking them up. Standing on shaky ground, too close to the edge. Let's see if I know the ledge.
It's Thursday, October 1st, 2020. Episode Cero Dos. If you're keeping track, that's for all my Spanish friends out there. You are about to go down the rabbit hole with Joe and Brian. I'm Brian. With me, as always, my good friend Joe. Joe, how you doing tonight?
I'm well, and yourself?
I'm doing all right. Doing okay, I suppose. All things considered, right?
All things considered, but we're still
all
winning.
Things considered, yeah. I'm a little bummed, man. I've been going this entire week thinking that looking forward to another F1 race weekend. And I went and looked at the schedule earlier today, and I realized there's no race this weekend. It's next weekend. So I'm a little bummed, man.
Oh, hey. Well, I mean, at least you have something to look forward to, right?
I guess so.
Yeah.
I don't know why I felt compelled to share, but I did.
Well, speaking of sharing.
Yes. You know what? I got something for that.
Motherfucker, give me two fingers of Southern Comfort.
So Joe, what did the bartender bring you tonight?
The bartender thought I was pretty basic, and so he brought me grapefruit juice and rum.
Okay.
It is very delicious.
Well, the episode that we had last week that no one listened to, we went in depth into Southern Comfort, the alcohol of Southern Comfort, and I went out and I bought a bottle of Southern Comfort. I didn't like go into a store and stare at the shelves and compare. I bought these online and went and picked them up. And so when I bought them, I had the choice.
Sorry, what? They wouldn't deliver?
No, they won't deliver. I don't know what it is with Kentucky laws and getting alcohol delivered, but it's still for the most part, a no-go. But
It seems like they want you to get in your car, ride out, and get your booze. They want you to put some effort into it.
What does it say about me that I don't want to even put forth that much effort?
It says you're serious.
But I did go. I did drive there. I did. It was curbside pickup though, so I didn't have to get out of the car. But anyway, I believe I had the option of buying 100 proof or 80 proof. I bought the 100 proof. Hey.
Man proof.
Yeah. And so I've got a shot here in front of me. Smelling it, it reminds me when I was a kid, and I don't know if anyone else recalls this or not. I've tried to even talk to my brother about this, and he doesn't even recall it. But I remember that they used to, like, you know, you get sick, and they always prescribed. I'm positive it was penicillin. There's always penicillin for this, penicillin for that.
Yeah, that's for infection.
Yeah, and we would always. I remember getting it in this bottle. It was like antifreeze green. The liquid was just super sugary, so sugary that by the end of the week that you're trying to take the medicine, the sugar crystals have formed up around the top of the thing. It's just so much sugar. I guess, for to get little kids to drink it. But that's what this smells like right now, smelling this.
Really?
Yeah.
It smells like medicine
or cough syrup or something.
That's not a good sign, man.
So I'm gonna take a sip.
Oh yeah, you don't smell any woods or oaks or cherries or
shit. No, hell no. Okay. Nothing like that, man.
Did you swirl it around the glass?
Yeah, I'll swirl it around here a little bit.
Aerate it. And you supposed to take a nice deep whiff.
No, you're reminding me of that Dennis Leary bit.
Oh, he's like, this is a 50-year whiskey.
Mm, yeah.
Take the words and the tones and.
He slams it down and says, "Yeah, give me another."
So, you slam it yet?
Whew.
That didn't seem like it went all that well.
It is super sweet, man. And it's super sweet, but at the same time, yeah, it's definitely high octane. Good Lord. Mm. That's half the shot. I don't think I want to take the rest of it.
Do you feel hair springing up on your chest?
I already had.
Sorry, hair more hairs?
Oh, more hairs. Yeah. They're popping in as we speak, man. That is. I don't know about that, man.
So wait,
I couldn't drink this regularly.
Is it hardcore? Is it just nasty?
It's just super sweet, but the alcohol is.
It sounds like you might need to cut that with some lemon juice.
Oh goodness.
And ice.
Well, fortunately, my bartender brought me also some. You might want to check your breathing there, Joe. We're getting some sounds. Right, everyone should know that we're still dealing with some sound problems, folks. But it's better than last week. My bartender also brought me some Coke, coconut rum, and some mango pineapple juice. It looks like muddy water, but it smells really good.
Yeah, drink that. Actually, are you sure you don't need to, clear the palate or clean the palate after that Southern Comfort stuff?
This cleansed the palate nicely.
So what's your it seemed like a no bueno on the Southern Comfort.
Not a fan of Southern Comfort, man.
How much of it do you have left? Did you buy a fifth?
Yeah, I bought a fifth, it's quite a bit left there.
Oh, God. Now you get to get creative with it, man. Congratulations.
Yeah, maybe it'd be better if you cut it with some Coke or something like that.
Now,
not the drug, the drink.
But to say, holy crap, Ryan, you went off the rails.
Take a line of Coke and shoot, take a shot of Southern Comfort. Oh my God, we've went off the rails. We've went off the rails, man.
Stop the recording.
Goodness. All right, if people are still around, people are still listening, we would like to remind you to please like this episode, share this episode, and hit the subscribe button, and go ahead and hit the little bell if you want to be notified when a new episode drops. And Joe, I actually got notified last week's episode before you even notified me. YouTube notified me.
Yeah, good. Very good.
So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, if I recall correctly, I finished it and then I just set it on schedule, and so it was scheduled to come out. And I think I was probably in the wind when it actually came when it dropped.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I we discussed this earlier, but I don't believe there's any George Floyd updates this week or Ahmaud Arbery. Is that correct, Joe?
Yes, that is correct. There are no new updates on George Floyd or the Ahmaud Arbery case. However, we did find an interesting tidbit about the law that's being claimed as a defense to the murder charges against the McMichaels. Or McWilliams?
Meh. Those rednecks.
Those guys.
Yeah, them guys. this is unfortunately it's not so much an article as it is a video, so we need to watch it and parse it out and see what's in it. But apparently the origins of that law is kind of shameful. What would you say? It was put in place as a way to keep black people in check or something like that, would you say?
To keep the black man down.
Yeah.
So, literally. But yeah, that's something we can look forward to next week. But no direct updates on either of their cases.
God damn, that Southern Comfort hit my head right now, man.
Really?
Wow.
Like, is it like a
Hunter Proof? Hunter Proof ain't no joke, man.
Apparently not. And
although, what did your sister send you? This was
165 proof. Once again, this is my kid sister, Christina. Hi, Chris.
That's ridiculous, man. Like we say, it's like, yeah, this my gin ain't strong enough. I need I need it to be like almost 100% alcohol. Yeah, Goodness gracious, man.
Yeah, this gin isn't strong enough. Said by no one.
No one ever.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Anyway.
They should call themselves Widowmaker, man.
Yeah. Like, yeah, there's going to be alcohol poisoning is going to spike.
So I'm
excited about this next story because it gives me a chance to talk about a person who used to be a friend of mine. And I'd say he's still a friend. We've lost touch, as you do, you know. I don't know where he's at anymore, but, and I'm not going to say his name, but
let's tell him about it.
Yeah, well, let's hit this article first. It's if you don't object, I'll just go ahead and read this here. A black fourth grader was suspended for having a BB gun visible in his online class. A Louisiana school suspended and nearly expelled a fourth grader for unintentionally showing a BB gun during his virtual class. Ka Maury Harrison, a 9-year-old in Harvey, Louisiana, moved a BB gun that his younger brother tripped on during an English test. NOLA.com reported. The teacher attempted to speak to him, but because he muted the computer for the test, he was disconnected from the class. The school then called his parents to notify them of his suspension. So what I'm envisioning is, you know, I mean, I guess, you know, during this COVID time, we've all been doing video conferencing, and I'm guessing this, it sounds like you could see this BB gun in the background, and that was enough to get him expelled, suspended?
Apparently, and this happened pretty quickly.
Yeah, it sounds like the same day, right?
I mean, the way it reads is like the teacher was trying to get in contact with him, and that didn't work. And so she pressed a button, and then, talked to the principal and got him suspended. Wow.
That just blows my mind, man. This story is like really heavy on the fact that he's black, but I don't know. I don't know that that's so much a part of the story as the hypersensitivity of school?
I think the fact that he's black impinges heavily on the story.
Really?
I think so. I think if this kid was white, we would not be reading about it.
Oh, but nah, I don't buy that. I don't buy it.
No. If you get pulled over, and if I get pulled over, how confident are you that we're going to have the same experience with the officer that pulls us over?
I can't speak to that because I don't know, man. That's not a fair question. There's all the circumstances. The circumstances are all different. And
another way to get a crack at this nut. So you're saying the circumstances? Would you say that after?
Have you ever been pulled over?
Oh yeah, I've been pulled over.
Has a cop ever pulled you out of the car, beat the shit out of you, taking you to jail? What?
No, that's never happened to me.
Why not? I mean, if it's so rampant, why hasn't that happened for the times that you've been pulled over?
The last time I was pulled over was 10 years ago.
Okay.
So you're saying that if it wasn't rampant, sorry, because it is rampant, that should have happened to me by now. Is that what you're saying?
I don't like these so this is what you're saying kind of things, but you know, if you show a cop respect, unless the cop is just one of these, a bad apple that we've talked about, you know, you're
more than a bad apple in that case.
Look, I got pulled over driving 100 miles an hour, man,
and survived
a shit ton of yes sirs, no sirs, yes sirs, no sirs, thank you sirs. Later, he let me go. Well, he didn't take me to jail. So, if you show these people, whether they deserve it or not, if you show them respect, and I know saying this that there's like a million people out there are like rolling their eyes at me. I get it. I do.
Yeah, I don't think you get it, man.
But I don't. But then again, you can't. But when you hear stories, I mean, there have been stories out there of like little kids, little white boys, being expelled from school because they made a gun with their fingers, their hands. You know, race. I don't think race has anything to do with this particular story. It's the fact that guns. Guns is the big. Guns is the central thing.
Let's see here. The school suspended Harrison for violating their policy on handling weapons in a classroom setting, and the school's internet policy, according to the report. Expulsion had been recommended, but the school's hearing officer later opted to not expel Harrison. Now, let's see here. The fourth grader suspension is one of several instances of black children being disciplined during the disorganized shift to online school, further perpetuating the racial bias in education. In May, a Michigan judge incarcerated a 15-year-old black girl for not completing her homework, leading to protests and petitions demanding her release. In Colorado, a school suspended and sent a sheriff to a 12-year-old black boy's home for showing his toy BB gun in class. Black students are disproportionately suspended or expelled on one of the ways that make up school. Disproportionately suspended or expelled one of the ways that make up the school to prison pipeline. In Minneapolis, black students make up 41% of overall student population, but 76% of suspensions. In Paramus, New Jersey, black students are 12.4 times more likely to get suspended than their white counterparts. So between 2015 and 2016. So you're saying that it's not the race, it's the gun, but it seems as if there's data to suggest otherwise.
You know what? Maybe this school has a problem. That's entirely possible, but I can probably find you 100 stories about white kids being expelled for stupid shit like this.
I'm not going to say that white kids are not suspended for stupid stuff, but what I am going to say is that the data suggests and shows that black children, although a smaller proportion of the population, are suspended and expelled at higher rates, thus suggesting that, you know, that race is a factor. And you can minimize it all you want, but you can't escape that. And so I'm allowing for all the little white boys and little white girls are getting suspended for stuff, but it's still happening to black students at a higher rate.
Well, if those are the numbers, I won't argue with them, but I will still say that in this particular story, I think the gun and the hypersensitivity to boys just guns in general. I think this is more about guns than race, but
I think there's two things at play. I think you're right. Hypersensitivity to guns and hypersensitivity and desire to, to suspend and expel black children, especially boys. That's all.
Okay, so let me tell you about my friend.
Right. The friend whose name we shall not use.
We won't use his name. But this dude, and this is more of a story about the sign of the times. But I can remember this kid, he was always the kind of, his dad was like ex-military. Uh-huh. And this kid was always about, I mean, that was his thing. He was going to go into the army. That was his thing. And I mean, it's like, he was always like, every time I'd see him, he was always trying to make weapons or do some crazy stuff. And he would come into class. I remember like in grade school, he made like this gun out of, obviously not a real gun, but he made like this gun out of, I don't know, clothespins and rubber bands and whatnot. And it launched projectiles. And I can remember him bringing that to school, and, you know, and if a kid got caught today with that, he would be expelled or worse. But as time went on, he was just always obsessed with weapons and whatnot. He's always trying to make bombs and shit. And I can remember him coming into school and think, you know, talking about how he was working on like flash bulbs for cameras to try to get them to like ignite gunpowder and stuff. And this kid would have been flagged big time today.
Shipped off. Would have been part of a trench coat mafia.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, for sure. But dude, we had this assignment in seventh.
What year was this? About what year was this?
These are in the mid to late. This would be the late 80s. This would be late 80s.
All right. So assignment.
Yeah. So in like seventh or eighth grade, we had this assignment it was an art class. We were supposed to write and draw a storybook. And we would do that, and then another class would take that storybook to the elementary and read it to, like, you know, little second, third, fourth graders there. They would read it. And this my school was Fairfield FHS, Fairfield High School Local. And he wrote, his story was called Massacre at FHS. And he went into explicit detail about all of these teachers in our school killing them.
What? Wait. Wait, and this kid wasn't arrested
after the
fourth grade?
That got him called to the not the principal's office so much as it was the
superintendent's office.
Now, what's the woman? Who's the person who they always joke about their jobs being work pointless? But the counselor,
the school counselor.
Yeah, like the school career counselor or something. I don't know, but I remember he got called to this. I'm sure the principals were involved, and the parents were called. His parents were called in and everything. And that still is one of the craziest memories that I have of this dude. But I gotta say, after he graduated and lost touch, and you go your separate ways. Before we graduated, he moved, he did join the Army, and I'm not sure exactly what happened. He was like involved in some like. He was doing like undercover drug operations or whatnot. Mm-hmm. I don't know, man, but I remember like in 95, I had my car wreck in 94, I think. And mm-hmm. He got in touch with me like 95, 96 maybe. And we met up at the, thank God, it was at a neutral area, like at the Dayton Mall. And he had this guy with him that I don't know how he knew him, but. It was like talking to a different guy, man. He had done some fucked up shit. You could just tell that he had done some fucked up shit because he was just talking about what he had been doing. And I was like, yeah, so you ever kill anyone? And he just got real quiet and I was just like, and just like all the air got sucked out of the room. And I was just like,
oh crap.
Oh shit.
He's that guy.
This dude who I would have considered already unstable. Just yeah, he was like over the edge. And so I don't know, man. Last I heard, I think this dude was doing like maybe security or something for different groups around the Dayton area. But
so is he like a mall cop or he's like, you know, private security?
No, I think he did security for like music acts, yeah. And then maybe I don't know. He's doing. I think he last I heard he was doing something with security, but God help if he was a mall cop. God help
the mall?
all the little mall rats out there, man.
Well, there aren't any mall rats anymore. They're all
no. Cool. I know. But anyway, I seen this story and I was like. This because I wanted to tell the story about this dude, man. I think I'd mentioned him before to you.
I'm pretty sure you have, but
hey, yeah, I think so. Yeah,
I just want to and to punctuate that last point I made.
Okay.
Specifically,
yeah.
Black boys represented 2% of all enrolled students from 2015 to 2016, but accounted for a whopping 25%. Of all school suspensions, according to the U.S. Department of Education. So, if you
I won't try to justify that. That's fucked up.
No. It seems to me that you. I mean, my thing is like, yeah, black boys are. I say black boys are I don't want to say targeted. Are punished more harshly than white children. And your point was no. I've heard all these examples of little white kid, getting suspended for stupid stuff. And I'm like, okay.
Not stupid stuff, stupid gun shit. Right. I think it's more about gun. We have went overboard on guns in this country.
And so I'll grant you, we've gone overboard with guns. Probably, you know, rightly so in terms of school. But I think, you know, being a black, you know, basically what I was going to say is if you were to line up 100 students and, you know, have them proportionally represented in terms of, represented in terms of, you know, how they make up the population, eight of those students would be black boys, but wow, what is that? 25, so eight of them will be black. Wow. So, I mean, yeah, I lost my point, but I think you put your finger on guns, and I'm like, no, it's the fact that you're black, he's black, that this has happened to him. So, there you have it.
Just for giggles, just for shits and giggles, and since we're playing with, like, statistics again, what if we had 100 kids, 50 of them were white boys and 50 of them were black girls? How do you think it would shake down?
I remember hearing about this before, and I think black girls were suspended at about the same rate as white girls.
No, but I'm saying black girls and white boys.
So you're asking how many would be suspended?
Yeah. What do you think?
You know, maybe that's further down the article. Let me check.
I doubt that it's going to be in the article because I don't think they keep statistics for stuff like that.
If they kept the statistics for black boys being suspended, why wouldn't they keep statistics for black girls being suspended?
That's a good question.
So, yeah, I think it's out there, but we don't have that information right here at our fingertips. It's not something
that's fine. And it's neither here. It's neither here nor there.
But to answer your question, maybe not 25%. That's a huge number. 8%, but, you know, 8% of the students, but 25% of all the suspended kids, that's a lot of suspending.
It's just interesting in this entire article, it's not blacks, it's black boys. It's always black boys, black boys, black boys.
Well, sometimes you know, black boys get their shine. This is not the best type of shine to have, but
Understood. And I like I said, I didn't mean to denigrate or take away from it, but we're just repeating ourselves now.
No, just closing it up. I didn't take you as denigrating it, but I did take you as thinking that something else was the cause. You put the emphasis on gun, and I put the emphasis on black, and I think, that last factor what I read off, you know, suggested black as well, but we can revisit this some other time when we get more information.
Sure.
What else is on tap?
Well, this next story kind of leaves a bad taste in my mouth.
Awful taste. Awful.
Awful taste. And you know what? I feel I have no pity. I have no pity for this dude.
Yeah. This guy likes suffering. It seemed like he took suffering to a high art.
Yeah. A man dies after eating a bag and a half of black licorice every day for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And
I think I would have sooner have cut my tongue out before having done that.
A Boston area construction worker died last year after eating a bag and a half of black licorice every day for 2 weeks, according to a case report published today in the New England Journal of Medicine. The candy, as well as many others, contains glycyrrhizic acid, which can interfere with the body's nutrient balance and lead to a heart rhythm problem. And while there are reports of other complications from excess licorice consumption, including hypertension and muscle weakness. Death by excess black licorice is extremely rare. No shit. One, nobody eats black licorice to that extreme. Jesus Christ. I mean, I like Twix, but I'm not going to eat, you know.
A Twix and a half every day. Yeah, I think that'll be easy to do.
No, a Twix and a half, but a bag of Twix would probably be like, I don't know. I'm not going to eat a pound of Twixes every day, you know what I'm saying?
But, yep, you might as well look at – when you're doing that, you might as well look at yourself in the mirror and say, I hate you.
When you consume that much of any one thing, you're asking for trouble. Wasn't there a movie or a documentary a while back about some guy who did nothing but eat McDonald's for breakfast, lunch, and dinner for like a month?
Yeah, I think it was – what was it?
And then reported on his health. If you do that to your body, you got to expect some negative results, man.
I was so hoping that he would not survive the movie.
Oh, that'd have been great, wouldn't it? if that's how the documentary ended. we'd like to tell you that this had a happy ending, but unfortunately, the filmmaker died from hypertension and.
Yeah, I remember watching that video and be like, yeah, this guy, if I were to meet him, and, you know, he did not seem like a guy I would like to meet in real life. I remember, like, before he was supposed to start the he seemed really whiny and the day before, I'm going to have some delicious vegetables. Yum, 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 yum. And I'm like,
So you've seen that documentary.
Oh, I've seen it. I can't remember. I mean, I think it was called Super Size Me.
Oh, that's a great name. That'd be a great. Yeah, that sounds right. That does sound right. Because restaurants always want to supersize you. So yeah, that makes sense. Okay.
But he every day for a month, and like, you know, he gained 25 pounds, and you know, all of his readings were off the chart. Yeah. But, I mean, I can't imagine the amount of self-loathing involved in someone saying, you know what, I'm going to eat a bag and a half of licorice every day.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I remember getting that stuff, you know, like, it's Halloween now, so.
It's like a bad joke.
Yeah, like, the person that would give you, like, licorice, black licorice, I mean. Twizzlers, the red licorice was bad enough, but black licorice, terrible.
Did they deserve? Did you go back with eggs later that night and teach them a lesson?
No, not eggs.
No.
Molotov cocktail.
Shame. Oh my God! He's little trick or treat Joe was out for blood.
Oh my goodness! No, of course that was a joke.
Yeah. As far as we know.
Check the
records, people.
Yeah, that whole rash of fire bombings in 1994 in St. Louis.
Yeah, no relation. Nothing to do with Joe.
Yeah, I was literally whistling Dixie. But, no, yeah, but speaking about that guy dying from licorice, right?
Yeah.
Isn't there a story on death and taxes that we wanted to cover as well?
Yeah, I think we can do that. So people have been obsessed since the beginning of last before Trump got elected in 2016 about his taxes and constantly are like, release him, release him, release him. And he's always been like, no, I'm under audit. I can't release him, can't release him, can't release him. And I think a couple of years ago, even Rachel Maddow got a hold of some tax returns and she was all gushy and squishy. sorry. I'm AKA, sorry. I apologize.
AKA very excited.
She was excited. But I can't remember, but they didn't tell her, they didn't give her the satisfaction that she wanted. But we got another tax release
story
that came out. Yeah, that came out just this week, I believe.
I actually remember that story that you were referring to.
Yeah, I did. Yeah,
and yeah. I think it showed that he made more money than previously thought and paid more taxes.
Yeah, it was one of those. I think what made that story so great was that Rachel Maddow went on air to read it before she knew exactly what was in it, because I think you could kind of like see the air coming out of, you know, kind of deflating as she read it, because it wasn't what she was expecting. I don't think, kind of like that. The prosecutors, you don't ask questions that you don't know the answer to, kind of a thing.
Yeah, because the answer may be detrimental to your case and all. Yeah, right. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah,
but apparently this way, I don't know this. What do I have in this article? I see. I have the New York Times 10,000-word Trump tax expose reveals no Russian links, no illegality, and admits the left will be unfulfilled by the report. I don't have everything too long. Let me read through this. Claiming to have obtained Donald Trump's tax information extending over more than two decades, the New York Times admits its findings amount to problems most businesses deal with: struggling properties, vast write-offs, and an audit battle. The article also admits the filings will leave many questions unanswered, many questioners unfulfilled, and also kills off the idea that President Trump's finances were somehow linked to Russia. The piece reads, "Nor do the tax returns reveal any previously unreported connections to Russia." Trump called the central claim the New York Times makes that he only paid $750 in federal income taxes fake news in a press conference on Sunday evening. A lawyer for the president said, "Over the past decade, President Trump has paid tens of millions of dollars in personal taxes to the federal government, including paying millions in personal taxes since announcing his candidacy in 2015. The New York Times failed to include the details of the returns in its reporting, admitting in its own article the Times declined to provide the records in order to protect its sources." I don't know what the date range was, but I mean, doesn't the president donate his salary to like a charity every year or every quarter or whatever?
My understanding that he does not take his salary and that he donates something.
Well, if you don't take an income, then obviously you're not going to pay an income tax. But I don't know what dates. Maybe they're talking about some other dates. I know that rich people, you know, they all have their loopholes.
If he's a billionaire, so let's say there are two ways to be a billionaire. One, to be a billionaire in cash, you have cash money on hand, and the other way is to have $1 billion of assets, so buildings, cars, jets, goodwill.
Okay.
And so, presumably, it seems to me that if you're a billionaire, either way, you should have more than $750 that you're paying. You should have income that's more than $750 in any given year if you're a billionaire. To me, like, the fact that he could only pay $750 in taxes, it almost screams, maybe not illegality, but it's one of those things that doesn't add up, if that makes sense.
It does make sense, but I would,
you probably pay more taxes than Donald Trump, and are you a billionaire, Brian?
No, I'm not.
Are you sure?
pretty sure.
Huh. I mean, you know, you could be the billionaire next door for all we know, but you know, so a billionaire pays $750 in income taxes. Now, were those his like his personal income taxes, like you know how much Donald Trump made, as opposed to how much Donald Trump the corporation makes? Because I assume that Donald Trump is a man, but I also assume that he has like a corporation, you know, the Donald Trump Corporation for which he's probably an employee, you know, something like that.
Well, that's we don't know because the New York Times declined to provide the records in order to protect its sources. We don't know that we're just that's what they're telling us, though.
Yeah, I think we need to, you know, and this is probably something that's going to, you know, not going to be easy, and is likely to take more time than we expect. But I think we need to do something for the people so we can all figure out how to pay less than, you know, less than $1,000 in income taxes.
I mean, Trump has talked about suspending the income tax, the federal income tax, for like the rest of the year or something as a COVID, you know, as a whatever, like a COVID payment. I would love to see that. The income, I think that the taxes in this country are illegal themselves, and the rich people write the tax laws so that they don't have to pay taxes, and it's us plebes that are the ones that suffer, and we're the ones that can never acquire wealth because the government takes half of what we earn every week, and it's just this is bigger than Donald Trump, and while he's the one being beat over the head about it right now, all these rich motherfuckers in Washington are responsible and should be, you know, they could fix this overnight if they wanted to get rid of all these tax loopholes and whatnot, but it'll never happen because they benefit from it just as much as Donald Trump does.
I
different set of rules, man.
I can't disagree with that. That sounds, the very fact that they said $750, you know, it's, you know, probably no criminality occurred, you know. It probably was in line with the letter of the law, but not the spirit, or maybe with the spirit as well. But
right.
That's how, you know, something, you know, something doesn't add up.
I mean, during the 2000s, I don't know when it was, but didn't Warren Buffett come out and talk about how his secretary paid more income tax than he did?
I think he said something like she paid a higher rate.
All these rich motherfuckers, the Bill Gates, the Warren Buffett, all these people who say that we need to raise taxes. Fuck that. You know what? We need to drop the income tax, and we need to institute a super aggressive wealth tax. And I'll bet you that all these rich fucks will suddenly shut the hell up, because I'm sorry, guys, I've been dropping the F-bomb a lot here. it's a combination of this that Southern comfort and this really stiff coconut rum concoction I put together. But they get rid of the property tax, or not property, the income tax, institute a really, really aggressive wealth tax, and all these and watch all these rich fucks suddenly shut up about taxes.
I don't think they'd shut up. I think they would squeal. And,
good. Squeal. Yeah. Let them squeal.
Yeah. And then they would pick up their phone and they call their congressman. The congressman would pick up probably, you know, his personal line and be like, you know, I see that you called Mr. Mighty Bags. How can I be of assistance?
And yeah, without like, a doubt.
Yeah, I say something to the effect of, yeah, I saw my taxes, my tax bill, and I didn't like it. And I need to do something about that. Snap his fingers, or click his tails, and you know, set off to work. So. Yeah,
well, but I thought you said we needed to pay more taxes in this country.
Yeah. No, no, no. Yeah. No, no, no.
We need to keep the plebes. We need to keep the plebes down. That's what we need to do. Take their money.
They don't have any money.
That's right, baby. That's right.
I mean, yeah, this, yeah, terrible, terrible news. And is Donald Trump a bad guy for taking advantage of it?
I don't think so. I would urge everyone to, anyone who can, to take advantage, if you can. Pay as little taxes as you can get away with, man. Fuck the seriously, man. I'm about as anti-tax as you're going to come across, man. So good for Trump and good for anyone who's able to, because
taxes are the price we pay to live in a civilized society, Brian.
Yeah, you know, it shouldn't be an income tax.
So you're not against?
There's plenty of there's a shit ton of taxes in everything is taxed in this country. It shouldn't be an income. There shouldn't be an income tax. You can tax plenty of stuff, but you shouldn't tax people's income. People shouldn't, you know, what's that? You work until, you know, what do they say? You work until like May, until the money you make actually is yours. Whatever that is. Yeah. No, you can't. You can't do it. You can't really. It's hard for. I don't want to say. I'm talking about middle class people. It's hard to acquire any kind of real savings or wealth when you're having a third or more of your income taken.
Yeah, before you can even count it, you don't pay taxes. They take it.
Yeah, yeah. And there's plenty of things that you can tax. There's plenty of things that are already taxed, and there's other ways if you have to, but there shouldn't be an income tax.
We should start a Brian tax.
A Brian tax, huh?
Yeah.
Everyone pays me?
No, no, no. Everyone named Brian.
No. I prefer everyone pays me.
No. Everyone named Brian has to pay taxes, like a special tax, just for being named Brian. And
son of a bitch.
Yeah. But speaking of sons of bitches.
Yeah, where are you taking this now, Joe?
Next story.
I smell what the Rock is cooking, and it's spoiled as. I'm not going to say it.
Anyway, so was that Dwayne The Rock Johnson endorses Joe Biden and Kamala Harris in his first personal, public political backing?
Yeah.
But
God damn it!
Was really a surprise.
It was a bit. I really had held out. I thought that he might have been like a closet Republican, or maybe a libertarian or something.
Yeah,
but
that Southern Comfort's hitting real hard, man.
I mean, I really could have seen myself supporting him in a future presidential run.
Nah, Dwayne The Rock Johnson isn't running for no president.
Maybe not this year or next year, but you know, why not in you know, 10, because, 15 years.
Because, he's Dwayne The Rock Johnson. He was a football player, a professional wrestler, and an actor. The amount of dirt that is, you know, in his file would likely preclude him from running for president. With the exception of the brief flirtation and with the 2020 presidential run himself, Johnson, 48, often takes great pains to remain apolitical at a time when Hollywood is seemingly filled to the brim with activism. However, the Jumanji star took to Instagram on Sunday, where he shared a video of a virtual conversation he had with the two Democratic candidates and officially gave them his endorsement.
Well,
I mean,
Who do you think he has more dirt in his background than Trump did? As soon as I say this, I'm going to feel the universe's collective sigh at me. But
again,
I would almost argue that Donald Trump is quite possibly our most cleanest, most pure president ever. I mean, if you look at the anal cavity.
What?
A search that he's been going through since even before he was signed in or sweared in, and nothing has come out of it. I think he got to be pretty damn clean.
You mean all the hookers and what's her name, the Playboy folks and
nothing. I mean. What do we really want to talk about politicians' infidelities?
Oh no, I mean like, but you said clean. I mean, yeah.
There was nothing.
No. You said you didn't just say clean. You said the most clean.
You know what? I'll stand by it. I don't know, man.
I think you might need to step off that one. The most clean, like now, mind you. He's, you know, he's the president. So, yeah, none of those guys are, you know, per se clean. Just look at Bill Clinton. No, just too many skeletons in the closet count. Obama, likely some skeletons in the closet. But Trump being the most clean? Now, I would probably say Jimmy Carter was probably the most clean. Because he had that situation where he had lust in his heart for like a secretary or something like that. But like, you know, Trump, he didn't just have lust in his heart. He literally would go grab them by the what?
He didn't do that.
Oh, he didn't say he did that, but he's like you could.
See, I'm glad you brought that up because. I'm tired of hearing about. I'm not tired of hearing that as well. That's about as bad as the whole Charlottesville hoax. All he was doing is talking about fucking gold diggers, man. Women who will do anything to be around money. That's all he was talking about. We act like that it was some horrible thing that he said, but all he's doing was talking about gold diggers. Hip hop artists have been talking about gold diggers since there's been hip hop. So. Donald Trump, he said it in a crude way, but that's all he was talking about was gold diggers, women who will do anything to be around power and money.
And as we all know, those women don't exist.
Shit. Oh, that I'm sorry. Was that the wrong reaction?
That's an absolute fantasy of your imagination.
I guess so. But it was yeah, when he said that it was funny to watch all the pearl clutching liberals just lose their mind because he dared say something like that.
Terrible. Awful.
Oh my God, Joe. I don't know if we're only an hour into this, man, and I'm feeling pretty good.
Pretty good. That's a great way to be, man.
I know, but they call this stuff truth serum.
So maybe you should have that like as like a, you know, a prerequisite for each show.
I don't know, man. If I had any supporters, up until this show, man, I think I'm losing them.
I mean, that crowd of people forming outside your door.
Yeah, they're pulling out the pitchfork. They're pulling out the pitchforks now.
Like, hey, well, maybe we should switch gears to a less controversial topic. Something happened last week that that we kind of both were looking forward to, and we probably need to talk about briefly.
Yeah, we. we would be kicked out of the Current Events Podcast Club if we didn't if we didn't mention the presidential debates that took place Tuesday.
Yep.
Tuesday. Yeah. Now I told you I didn't watch them all. I didn't watch all of them. I watched about a half an hour's worth.
What?
Yeah, I didn't watch them from beginning to end. I just hate it. I just hate it. One, they're not talking to me. I'm not an undecided. I'm decided. And so and all they are, all debates are, is just, I don't know, two candidates on stage just bickering and some moderator. I don't know. It's hard for me to watch. I don't really care. But I did check out a little bit of it Tuesday because I felt like I needed to. I did download a highlights of the debate from YouTube that we can, I thought we could maybe play through and talk about.
Let's hear it.
But so let's see here. Listen, here's the first section, and I don't know who this woman is speaking. I'm just guessing she's from one of the cable news networks, but here we go.
It didn't take long for the first presidential debate to devolve into a chaotic shouting match between President Donald Trump and former Vice President Joe Biden.
No, how strong do you feel? Let vote now. Make sure you, in fact, let people know you're a senator. I'm not going to answer the question.
Why would you answer that question?
Because the question is,
radical left. Will you shut up, man?
Would you shut up, man? That's so. So yeah, there they were arguing about the whole packing of the courts thing, but I don't know. Any thoughts or insight into that, Joe?
I think that President Trump won the first debate.
Okay.
I don't think he won it for, what people might think the obvious reasons are.
Mm.
So I think the average person thinks of a debate, a presidential debate, as an opportunity to, put forth a reasoned argument as to why they should be, the commander-in-chief over the other guy. Is that about right?
Yeah. I don't want to say necessarily that Trump didn't win, but going into this, I think people, especially Trump supporters, was really expecting Trump to just run over Biden and say that one thing that puts Biden over the edge, and that he would have to be carried off stage by his handlers because he just had a complete meltdown or something like that. So that didn't happen.
Wait. Talk about setting the bar too high. So you guys thought that Trump would say something that just made, Biden just fall out, just have to be carried off the stage.
It wasn't
a boxing match, right, man?
It wasn't a boxing match, but just something to push him over the edge. Maybe I'm speaking with some hyperbole there,
it seemed like you guys may have set the bar a little too high.
Yeah, maybe. Because Joe left the stage, and he didn't end up sounding, he didn't end up having the gaffes, I don't think, that people were expecting. And so in that case, if the he, you know, if since he come he came away relatively unscathed, I think I could see the argument for saying that he may have won, but then again, like I said, I don't like listening to Trump talk. I don't know, just his style of speaking, it just makes me cringe. But he has different styles of speaking. And you know, he talks to like he talks to the press in one way. He'll do a campaign speech another way. I liked whatever Trump was speaking during the debate, where he seems reasoned and the things that he says was like well thought out. I thought, well, he was at least the most palatable for me to listen to.
Wait. I think it's important to realize that you you have kind of a long seated deep hatred of Joe Biden.
Not a fan. I'm not a fan.
I can't remember. I can't remember us talking about Joe Biden. Like, what, back in what? A long time ago, before he was the vice presidential candidate for Obama.
Sure.
And you just savaged him. It's like, you know, it's like Joe Biden did something personally to Brian Newman. Did he?
Like, did he inappropriately touch a girlfriend of mine or something like that?
Or you?
Not me.
Yeah, just kidding.
No, but I'm not, just because I'm saying he may have won because he didn't have the meltdown that people were expecting. I don't know, man.
I think Trump won because his goal was to drive viewership of the second and third debate. So, if there was a knockout and Joe Biden ended up you know, spitting and stuttering and having to be carried off in a stretcher off the stage, I don't think too many more people will watch the second and third debate.
If he's playing that long game, though, it may backfire because people are theorizing that since he survived this debate the way he did, that he may not attend debates 2 and 3.
Hmm.
I don't know if that's just what the people are saying.
Yeah, Trump's other goal was to frustrate Joe Biden's ability and desire to appear at the remaining two debates. So, I mean, yeah, how do you prepare against getting verbally battered like that? Does that make sense?
Right. Well, let's play some more.
50 minutes, Trump constantly interrupted Biden's answers and even the moderator's questions and requests, resulting in Americans hearing few details about either candidate's policies. But one of the president's responses, or lack thereof, heard loud and clear, was his refusal to condemn white supremacist groups.
I would say almost everything I see is from the left wing, not from the right wing.
So what are you saying?
I'm willing to do anything. I want to see peace.
Then do it, sir.
Say it. You want to call them? What do you want to call them? Give me a name.
White supremacists and right-wing Proud Boys.
Stand by. But I'll tell you what. Somebody's got to do something about Antifa and the left.
And Biden.
So, yeah, that was that was an interesting bit. What were your thoughts on that, Joe?
I didn't know what to deal with that. That was kind of a, you know, yeah, I didn't know what to deal with that.
I guess let me put on my Trump apologist hat.
Again? I mean, yeah. Did you ever take that thing off?
I guess not. But I can understand. A part of me wishes that he would have just said something to put the issue to bed.
What issue?
But I realized that that's impossible. How many times has he been asked and answered a question like that? And I understand where I think, of course, I can't read his mind. This is me. This is just me, I guess, speaking for me. But how do you like, if I was asked that question, here's what I would say. I would have said something to the effect of, I condemn every group that represents white supremacists. But he couldn't. I wish he would have said something to that effect and stuck with it. But I don't know that that would have worked, because they keep wanting to denounce this group. And if he would have announced that group, then there would have been another group and then another. And he just can't. I don't think he can. The one thing he's always done good at is he doesn't debate people on. He doesn't let them set the.
For the terms.
Yeah, he doesn't let them set the terms for the debate. And so while this came off, I think this came off sounding horrible for him, I understand why he did it, or why he refused to just play along. This isn't necessarily my observation. This is an observation that I got listening to Scott Adams. Chris Wallace basically dictating to Trump, dictating what Trump says, is kind of like, you know, it's like a power, it's a power thing. Having one person saying, telling you what to say, and you saying it to make that person happy, is like a power dynamic. And I could definitely see someone like Trump pushing back against, oh, you want me to say this? Well, I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say it just because you want me to say it,
yeah,
kind of a thing.
I get the feeling that Trump is a witty enough guy that he could have put this issue to bed had he chosen to.
Well, and that's the thing. And I think I mentioned this to you before we started recording. If I have it, one, my biggest problem, I think, and it's not just my problem, but a lot of people that I've heard, my friend and other people have said that he had the kill shot multiple times and he didn't take it.
Sorry. Yeah. I watched the debate at least twice, and I don't recall coming across any kill shots. Could you please help me out?
Okay. Maybe not a kill. I can't, I told you, I've only watched a half an hour of it, so I can't give you a kill shot,
sure.
But opportunities to, like this, like right here. This was an opportunity, I think, I don't know. You know, we still have some more. We have some more clip to go through. Let's hear what else we got.
Back down from Trump's name calling, sending some of his own flights to the president.
Folks, do you have any idea what Islam is doing? There's nothing smart about you. 47 years, you've done nothing.
Let's have this debate.
And if you would have had, let me just tell you, sir,
you're the worst president America has ever had.
Well, nothing to. Let's move on. There's nothing really to talk about with that.
Well, for most of the night, the Democratic nominee looked to connect to voters by speaking straight to camera, like in this question. Asking how they felt about Trump's coronavirus response.
Do you believe for a moment what he's telling you in light of all the lies he's told you about the whole issue relating to COVID? He still hasn't even acknowledged that he knew this was happening, knew how dangerous it was going to be back in February, and he didn't even tell you a lot of people died, and a lot more are going to die unless he gets a lot smarter.
The president once again.
Yes, the whole COVID affair.
co-ed affair?
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's just, it's so easy for people to Monday morning quarterback, you know? And I don't know how you can, judge success or failure. How you can judge Trump with success or failure. What do you compare him to? There is no other country in the world like the United States. Every country, every region has its own dynamics. I mean, I don't know how you can look at Trump's handling of say that he failed somehow.
I can see how you could do that because you can't point to another, you know, global leader who downplayed this thing as much as he did.
Well, you know, like I think, like we discussed, I don't know if we discussed it on air or off, but
yeah, I think we discussed that on air.
Because that's where I said, you know, lots of people in groups are stupid.
Yes.
And to have a president come out, if our president would have come out and played the doom and gloom card, I don't know.
Well, no, I mean, you know, so we can have a situation where, you know, he doesn't, you know, come out and say, okay, you know, your grandmother's going to die. But you could also, I mean, you know, people are dumb, but they're not that dumb. We can, you know. He didn't have, you know, he could have said something to communicate the seriousness of the issue at hand.
I don't know that he necessarily downplay it that much.
Well, I mean, there's plenty of video of him saying how this is all going to just vanish and as soon as the weather gets warm and
confronting
it to, like, you know, a bad cold. And that's, you know, he said all that stuff in front of camera. So he did plenty to play it down.
Well, I still look at the fucking numbers and I'm not convinced that this was anything more than a bad cold.
Yeah, I think you can, you know, even if you don't think it was a bad cold, there's plenty of historical, you know, precedent to suggest that, you know, there are such things as pandemics, and pandemics can go around the world and kill millions of people. So, even if you didn't take it at face value, you know, quick look through your history book could have suggested that there was reason to take this very seriously.
Yeah. Okay. Fine. But how many deaths have there been in the United States?
You listen to Trump. One was too many.
No, I'm asking how many.
Last time I heard it was 204,000.
204,000, in out of 3.5, 350 million people.
I thought 320, 340. Sure, we'll say 350.
Yeah, I just not seeing something to.
How many people die from drunk driving?
Yeah, it's a good question.
Or cancer, for that matter.
Yeah, how many?
Let's find out. Drunk driving deaths 2019. Is that in 2018? There were 10,511 people killed in alcohol impaired driving crashes. An average of one alcohol impaired driving crash every 15 minutes. So
okay.
10,511 people died.
Okay.
Drunk driving.
Out of how many drivers? Because you don't want to compare that number to the total population. You'd want to compare that number to the number of people who drive.
Well, let's say, let's see here. Yeah. No. This isn't saying how many people were driving and got killed. It is how many people were, you know, I guess, drunk and fatalities caused by drunk driving. So
I got you.
Like anybody in the car. So I guess you could use the entire population.
Okay, fair enough.
I get your point. Statistically, it's not a, you know, it's not a, it's not like 50%, it's, you know, what, 0.25%, maybe. But, you know,
I think we're in the hundreds of percents, aren't we?
Sure. But push come to shove, 200,000 is, you know, more fingers than you have on your hands and your feet, and it's still a very large number. There's, mm. you know. Anyway.
Okay. Moving on.
Again, warned he may not accept November's election results, repeating his false claims mail-in voting would result in massive fraud, but there's no proof of widespread voter fraud in U.S. elections.
I am urging my people. I hope it's going to be a fair election. If it's a fair election, I am 100% on board. But if I see tens of thousands of ballots being manipulated, I can't go along with that.
No one has established at all that there is fraud related to mail-in ballots, that somehow it's a fraudulent process. He has no idea what he's talking about. Here's the deal. The fact is, I will accept it, and he will too. You know why? Because once the winner is declared after all the ballots are counted, all the votes are counted, that'll be the end of it. That'll be the end of it.
Trump looked to spin criticism of his decision to hold large campaign rallies during the pandemic after Biden slammed him for constantly ignoring coronavirus safety guidelines, wearing masks, and social distancing.
We've had no negative effect, and we've had 35,000, 40,000
right,
people in these rallies.
He's been totally irresponsible the way in which he has handled the social distancing, the people wearing masks, basically encouraged them not to.
All right.
Then he's a fool on this.
If you could get the crowds, you would have done the same thing. But you can't. Nobody can.
Gentlemen.
And just 2 days after the New York Times report on his federal income tax returns, Trump provided very little defense and no evidence to refute the newspaper's claims.
I paid millions of dollars in taxes.
All right, and that's all we have there. So,
wait a second. Did he say that no one has died from any of his rallies or anything like that?
I don't know. Did he say that?
I mean, he said that or something close to it.
Okay.
And if I recall correctly, Herman Cain.
Okay.
Is no longer around as a result of going to, I guess, what was it, a rally or the Republican National Convention? One of those two things he went to caught the coronavirus and died.
Caught it from a Trump rally, huh?
I think that's the official story, man.
Okay, I hadn't heard that.
Let me look it up, because these are things that are knowable.
Well, are they really?
Yeah, I think so.
I guess they're knowable. Although you constantly hear stories about, you know, hospitals who, if somebody was tested positive but then went out and got run over by a car, that death is recorded as a COVID death.
No. Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
And also, Biden must not have heard about bullshit going on with Ilhan Omar's district with those ballots.
Oh,
or the Project Veritas in Texas with all the fake ballots that they've found.
That's the other thing. Do you really think that that mailing ballots are highly suspect?
I don't know.
I mean, as long as I've been voting, that I don't recall it ever having been an issue in the past.
Well, aren't they trying a new kind of a new? Isn't this whole new voting by mail thing different in some way?
I don't think it's any different than it's ever been. It's, you know, you get your ballot, you fill it out, you put it in the mail or drop it off at the Board of Elections, and that's the mail-in ballot. I honestly don't understand how it became, you know, mail-in ballots became such a huge issue in such a short amount of time. Like I don't recall there being an issue with it in 2016, but I guess or 2008 thing. And I just, you know, actually,
I think there's, I'd have to check, but I think there's something different. I think there's a something different between a mail-in ballot and just in your absentee ballot.
There is a difference. A mail-in ballot is, I think an absentee ballot is like, if you're like, you know, overseas or something like that. But we can look that up. But I mean, I guess it's really suspect to me that this, you know, that for all my voting life, this has never been an issue, but now it's an issue.
Oh, it's an issue every year. There's just nothing. There's nothing ever comes of it.
Hmm.
You hear about election people talking about election fraud every election.
Actually, that I'm glad you said that, because in what 2000 when was Obama elected? What 2008, 2009? I remember being in Ohio at the Hamilton County. Hamilton County Democrats office, and there was I think there were like four or five people who have been convicted of voting illegally. I think one person like voted twice, one person voted via mail in, and then went up to the polling place. But yeah, I honestly think that this whole, like, you know, fraudulent voting is an invention of the right. Sorry. An invention of the right / Donald Trump.
That's hilarious to me, but okay.
I will find some information, and next week we can both have a good laugh.
Okay.
Deal.
Speaking
of laughter.
Yeah, let's move on to this week in skullduggery.
I like skullduggery.
Skullduggery, one of my favorite words. Yeah, this was just I don't know. Just let that soak in, Joe.
Oh.
Hey, so you apparently just scrolled down to the story.
No, I scrolled down to it earlier, but I didn't read the headline. I'm like, who's this weirdo? But, like, you know,
okay.
I see it cost him a. No, look, you should read this because,
I'll read this, and I'll urge people to either check out our show notes or just Google search this yourself. But a man covered his face with tattoos and turned his eyes black. He says it cost him his kindergarten teaching job. A school teacher whose body, face, and tongue are covered in tattoos and who has had the whites of his eyes surgically turned black said he was prevented from teaching at a French kindergarten after a parent complained he scared their child. Now, you're looking at that picture, Joe. Would that scare you as a little kid?
It scares me as an adult.
It scares me as an adult, too.
And he just looks like he literally climbed out of hell.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, climbed out. Yeah, perfect description. Perfect description. But the teacher, Sylvain Helane, 35, still teaches children from the age of 6 up. And said that after an initial shock when they see him for the first time, his pupils see past his appearance. Pupils as in the students, not his black pupils.
Yeah, that's good to be clarified.
Yeah, all of the students and their parents were always cool with me because basically they knew me, he said, who estimated he had spent around 460 hours under the tattooist's needle.
Ow! Damn, that sounds like that hurts.
It's only when people see me from far away that they can assume the worst. He said the last year he was teaching kindergarten at Dator Moray Elementary School in some French place, a suburb of Paris, when the parents of a three-year-old child complained to educational authorities. They said their son, who was not taught by Helaine, had nightmares after seeing him.
Oh, I might have nightmares tonight.
Yeah, I'm with you. A couple of months later, the school authorities informed him he would no longer teach kindergarten children. He said, "I think the decision they took was quite sad." A spokesman for the local education authority said an agreement was reached with Helaine to move him away from teaching kindergarten. Pupils under six could be frightened by his appearance, the spokesman said. Despite the setback, Helaine said he would stick with his chosen career. "I'm a primary school teacher. I love my job." He said he started getting tattoos at the age of 27 when, while teaching at a private school in London, he had an existential crisis. "Since then," he said, "getting tattoos is my passion." He said he hoped to show his pupils that they should accept people who are different from the norm. Maybe when they are adults, they will be less racist and less homophobic and more open-minded, he said. Well, that's a fucking stretch.
Yeah, a little bit of a stretch. A little bit of a stretch. I mean, or he just may have just gone around just, you know, traumatizing children. But now he said 460 hours under the needle.
That's a lot.
It's like almost 20 days.
And it ain't like they give away tattoos for free, man. You gotta put, and I'm looking at these tattoos, and I'm pretty sure he spent a lot of money,
dude.
Type
in his name and search his name. They got pictures of his full body tattoos. Like, there's like no part of him that's not tattooed.
Yeah. Crazy. So. That's my man for this week's in skullduggery.
Yeah, but he strikes me. This strikes me as one of those guys who, you know, you see like has like, you know, the spiky hair and the tattoos all over himself. But if you were to actually go and talk to him, he's like the nicest person in the world.
Yeah. I believe it. I understand what he's saying and everything. But come on, people, yeah. you gotta use some. If your chosen profession, if you love kids that much, and that your chosen profession is to teach kids, you know what? You just gotta. You know what? I've got a few tattoos on me, but you know what? None of them reach below the shirt sleeve of a polo.
Yeah, but yeah, you gotta look the part. This guy does not look the part.
Nah.
Now, if someone were to say, "Oh yeah, this guy is the mascot for the Satanist group," he would look the part for that.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Yeah. So. Yeah. I think that brings us to the end, Joe. We are. We're around an hour and a half right now, so.
That sounds like money.
Yeah. Once again, I'd like to remind everyone to like, subscribe, share. You know the routine. Especially share. That helps us get the word out.
We care that you share.
Yeah, we do. So. Yeah, I think this has been an interesting show. I really the alcohol hit me more than I expected tonight, Joe. And I hope that I didn't ruin this episode in some way, because I don't know. I'm
sure you didn't ruin it.
No, not ruin it, but yeah.
Like,
I don't know. We'll have to see. I feel like I was all over the place tonight, but you know what? If you was entertained, it was all worth it.
It was all worth it.
All right, Joe. And as always, I will propose that we meet up here again in 7 days and do it all over again. What say you?
Good idea.
All righty. Put it in the books then. Thanks everyone for listening, and we will catch you next time.
Next
Take
time.
Care.
Bye-bye. Open at an overlay.
Time to yawn, showers on, power's on, late for school, I catch the train, girl sip the style and whisper my name, I push up like an exercise, check the intellect and inspect the thighs, select the best one, pull it to the side, keep her occupied for the rest of the ride, read on my resume, she know already cool, just meet me after school, we can moan and groan until your mom's come home. And you'll be calling me Al Dope Capone, sweat me. She didn't wanna let me loose, come get me. As if you wanna sip the juice, cause the streets await me. So I take my gun off safety. Cause a lot of niggas hate me coming out of the building. They set me up, sprayed with automatics, they wet me up. In a puddle of blood, I lay close to the edge. I guess I didn't know the ledge.